The following program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Ooh, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Inside Scoop. So we're going to have an interesting day. A couple of things. First of all, this is the last show for the year. So that is a big thing within itself.
Just congratulations.
I know, we made it. How's about that? This is the last show for the year, and in addition to that, today is one of the days that I dread, which is a day that I'm literally by myself. Actually, I think this might be a winner, because I think this may be the first show that I had by myself this year. So maybe I did good this year, because maybe I made it through the entire year and only had one show by myself. So I'm not going to be all melancholy and like it is outside foggy. It must be why it's like that outside.
Must be. You know, you're here by yourself and just trying to, you know, deal with it, as it were.
I know. Maybe that's the whole purpose of the gloom outside today. So
maybe perhaps we're going to get a New Year's Christmas miracle, and one of the members is going to show up. Like, what? They're going to come in, big surprise, happy holidays and whatnot. Like, oh, Cherie, we would never leave you by yourself on the radio.
That's not happening.
Okay.
At the very least, I think my daughters may try to call in, because it is the last show of the year. It is traditionally some of the things that we do closing our time. I think they may call. But it's okay, because sometimes you have to learn how to be by yourself and love yourself and just be happy with the skin you're in. So I'm not going to make a big issue out of it. I'm actually really good being by myself. So with that said, a couple of things I wanted to do. I actually want to pay homage, I think, to and kudos and celebrate all of the people who actually have made it through this year. The families that have suffered and gone through transitions and changes and actually have had to live with some of the things that you would never think that you would have to live with when January 1st, 2023 came around. I can say for a fact that this year was possibly one of the hardest years that I could have expected it to be. I've shared that several times on this show, going through different transitions. I think in August when I said I'm not liking the skin that I'm in. and that same month, I had Kenji come on and talk about finances and moving through the year, at which time he kept trying to explain to me that things were going the way they were supposed to. And I kept saying, I don't think so. But the reality is that when you go through life and you learn, the older you get, things have different meaning. You know, it takes on different forms, and you actually start to understand some things. As my grandmom used to say, you understand it better by and by. And that is so true. I think one of my daughters is on, and just learning, you know, the true fact of life and some of the things that go on. This year, I see it as it was something where I was kind of like, nothing happened the way that my heart said it should have happened. But I think everything happened the way that it was supposed to happen. So with that said, you know, I'm happy. I actually can probably dance to see 2023 go. And it's amazing, because as I was reading and publishing today's edition of Scoop that'll be out later on today, there were a couple of articles that actually where people across the world in different states were having the same type of emotions I had with regard to this year. So you have to think about the many things that happened. Like the big headlines for the year, as one may say. I'm getting ready to pull up some of them so we can just look at it, and I'll look at them and share. Because you have to think, we've had two wars this year. You know, we have President Biden in there who's doing many things. We fought for student loans this year. We lost at the beginning of the year to earn income credit for people who were low income, the additional money that was given to them. We lost food. People are looking and don't have the basic necessities such as food and to eat. The inflation rates started this year with the excessive increasing the inflation rates so that we can stabilize and get out of the assumed recession. All of these things have been going on, and people, average people such as myself, because I see myself as totally average, just surviving, you know? So when you think of that, like I'm been really, and I consciously, unfortunately, like some people are able to not have to deal with the realities of life. Most of the time, I'm consciously living with every bit of it as I read other people's stories and I take in. And literally, I take it in and feel, you know, how they feel in their life and the different things that are going on, because there's no way that you can listen to these stories and not understand the full gravity of what's going on in the world and how people are affected and not have some sort of emotion, unless you're not human. So with that said, and trying to remain and always be human, you know, you think about it and you're like, this is crazy. Daughter.
Yes.
Are you there? Is your sister with you?
She's somewhere around here.
She's somewhere around?
Came back from Starbucks.
Oh, good for her. She should have came to the Starbucks near the radio station and bought her mom a Starbucks, because I haven't had coffee yet today. I've been running since I got up. So I wanted you guys on this show for a second. First of all, because I'm by myself and we all know that I don't like that. but primarily in sharing, you know, our sentiments of our family and our year, this past year. Thank God we went through the year. We have not lost anyone directly in our immediate family. You know, we did lose someone near and dear to us recently who we love dearly, and we actually had lost that person during Christmas. But as far as us and our immediate family, the five of us, we've all been blessed to be together. You have a good job. We do work. We do have food in our home, thank God. We have all of those things. And traditionally, at this time of New Year's, we actually, as a family, we pay attention to the things that we've had and the things that we lost, and we give thanks and we pray for a new year. And I just really wanted to share that with the world, that there are still people in this world, such as my mom, who at 12 midnight, you know, we talk about what you do for New Year's. Like, I do you want to go partying this year?
No. I was trying to find some kid-friendly things to do.
Oh.
But I think we are having family and guests over, a few of us, so yeah, we'll be in here together.
So people, as you get older, as I was saying, things have different meanings. And what we do now is I always wanted to party. I actually never was able to. I never was able to go to New York. And then it was like, it's way too many people there. I never was taught to run to the crowd, so to say. So if there's always been a big crowd, I've always relegated to not be in that room. I never did that. I did a few parties here and there, but then we went to church. We would go to church. And then we got to the point where we would do what we do, which is family, which is crazy because traditionally that's what I was raised to do. My mom, growing up, she had three kids and she was a single mom. And at 12 midnight, we would watch the ball drop together and she would line us up across the bottom of her bed on our knees, praying and asking God. And she would lead, of course, because she was the mom. She would lead the prayer and ask God to, thanking God for what we've gone through and praying for God to protect us through the next year. And it's the most important thing lately when you think of all of the dynamic things that we've been through, not just as a family or as a city or as a state, but as an entire country. All of the things that are going on is totally, totally unbelievable, quote unquote, crazy, to just know that all these things are going on. And we're blessed to have each other, to have the things that we have, and to be able to be in a situation where we can help other people, which is weird because, as I always say, we only like two steps above being poor, too. We're not wealthy. We just have each other, which is what some people don't have, you know? So I wanted you all to just help me out with just the whole narrative of being thankful and understanding life and where we are. And I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I do this every day of your life. I've always done it, you know, and just understanding or sharing a couple of the things that you've been saying, like, say, for instance, wherever your sister is, her sentiments, the way she said to me, ask her what she said to me on Christmas Day about how it felt so strange. What did you say, sweetheart?
I just said I didn't feel like Christmas. Like, I just didn't feel happy about it anymore. Like, it just felt really weird.
Yeah. And then the conversation we had was about the way that the world is, that there are wars going on, that there are people who don't have, you know, and you carry all of that in you all of the time, you know, and it's I hate to say the word amazing, but I don't want to like say anything completely, totally and like downplay it at all. But it's just out of character. It's crazy. It's something that nobody would have ever expected us to be living through. You know, that there are wars all around us and there are people here who are fighting for wars in other states. And then there are people here who can't eat dinner. You know, it's like the line, I guess, the separation line, the gap has gotten 20 times larger between the rich and the poor. Hey, I have one thing to say to you. So I read this article last night. Today's paper is not up yet, but you guys, both of you will appreciate this, Miss iPhone people. Social media made $6.1 million off of kids under the age of 18 last year.
That's Jordan, not me. I'm old.
You're old, but I said it because you walk around with your phone watching videos and being interested in influencers all day and liking their stuff and giving them money.
Not much influencers. I do not give influencers my money.
Watch no, Netflix. Not you. I'm saying you don't have to give them money. Once you click a button and say that you appreciate something, they generate income. That's how they generate income, just by you logging into their site. But it's just, think about that. Think about what I just said. These people have made all of this money.
I honestly look at like social media as like a place where I can be like transparent, because I feel like a lot of my friends and a lot of people who have known me for a long time don't understand that, like, you know, like I have hardships too. And, you know, I've just been blessed to have like parents in my life that says like every day is a new day. Like, you have to smile through it all. Like, so like, I can say I am a true Gemini when it comes to wearing many faces. But I struggle and I deal with a lot on a day-to-day, primarily just, you know, being a single mom and then just having my own mental health issues. So, like, for me, like, social media, yeah, it's funny sometimes. You get likes, you get kicks out of certain things. But I think the most important thing was to me this year in social media was being able to contribute to our community and say, like, you know, even as a therapist, I still need to see a therapist. I still need to have an outlet because I'm not perfect. No one in this world is perfect. But at the same time, I wear it so well that people don't understand that my hardships that I go through is like everyday life, and I could be going through the same thing somebody else is, but my outlook on it is just, you have to be blessed. Everything is written already, and whatever is faced in front of me is meant for me to go through as a testament, and how I go through this just allows me to keep pushing. So I'm always going to be blessed and highly favored because I honestly don't think I let anything hold me down. And, you know, I just really cherish the connection that you can have with people like my truest friends. I always say, like, my truest friends are, like, my friends I grew up in the dance school world with. So they are my sisters. So knowing that I have sisters that live in Los Angeles, Miami, New Jersey, just far away, like, and I can still connect to them. And, you know, it really allowed me into a centered place the other day when I had to call and make everyone aware that our friend passed. And I'm like, I have so many connections with people all over the place. And it just feels very heartwarming that I still have those connections. Like, my sisters are my sisters. I appreciate them just as much as I appreciate the five of you, like, or the five of us, like, my immediate family. Like, they are they are like my bloodline too. And it's true what they say, like blood is not thicker than water. Because I've come across so many people that I feel like in many cases are more family to me than some of my own kinfolk. But social media to me allows me to have that outlet. It allows me to have that social interaction and be able to connect to people, not only just people out in the community, but my people too. Hmm. So
what you say, little one? Don't laugh. It's not funny. So, and I was wrong. It was 11 billion that social media made off of your age group.
She has nothing to say. She's just drinking her Starbucks, being the cool kid that she is.
You don't have nothing to say about you giving. What's your favorite platform?
The app that makes me money.
Huh? Twitter. TikTok, where she makes money.
TikTok.
Where she makes money.
She's not old enough to make money yet. She hasn't started yet. That's her goal, is to make money. She hasn't started yet.
I'm waiting. Somehow or another, she's waiting to make money right now. Like, I don't know. I'm techie, but I'm not social media savvy. I hate social media. I just use it for the things I just told you. I hate it, though.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there because it is something that I read. And at some point during the day today, I was going to share that with both of you and see how you felt about the fact that these people, they made all this money.
What do they say about Netflix? That's what I watch all day.
They didn't say anything about Netflix.
Okay, so streaming is still okay.
It says, according to the study, YouTube derived the greatest ad revenue from users 12 and under at $959.1 million, followed by Instagram at $801.1 million, and then Facebook. Facebook is way at the end. That's the older people's social media at $137.2 million. Because a lot of kids, they be like, Facebook, what? Which is weird. Instagram, meanwhile, derived the greatest ad revenue from users aged 13 to 17 at $4 billion, followed by TikTok at $2 billion, and YouTube at $1.2 billion. Everybody making money. My thing is this, and I say this as a poor person, like, yo, everybody making money but us. We in the wrong business.
That's because the people who have money aren't happy, and the people who don't have money are happy. Whether we like it or not, we know what the heart wants. And the heart doesn't always want money. Of course, it can buy us things. It can make sure we're comfortable. But honestly, like, people, I know so many people that have money that live in misery. Like, they go out all the time, and they go right back in the house into a miserable household. Even if they have a family in there, everyone's so isolated and shut off that it's kind of like, are we really a family? Like, I don't know what happiness is outside of what I can purchase.
Oh, wow.
Honestly.
Is that the temperature outside and you're like, seriously, with people that you know?
I mean, fortunately, you put us into places where we are able to live on both sides of the world, whether we all the way fit in with the rich kids or we semi, we're in the advantage of being able to experience both sides. Like, I don't know too many of my friends that I can say traveled at 18 and 19 and 20 to different countries or give their kids that same experience. So, like, I'm fortunate because I know how to work hard and make my money count for something, whereas it's counting for happiness. Like, what is going to make my child happy or my sister happy or my mom? Like, I think every day I pray that you guys continue to be happy more than anything. Like, I don't pray for money. I pray that we continue to have the wealth of happiness, like, because it's hard to come by. And the best compliment I get every day is like, oh, your smile is so nice. You always smiling. And I'm like, oh, my mom paid for it. And they just laugh. And they're like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, the braces work, and my mom paid for it, so I'm going to keep smiling until I can't smile no more. And they're like, I've never heard that. And I was like, and it's the best, you know, yoga. Like, laughter is the best yoga. It keeps you young. It keeps your cheeks high, so I don't need collagen because I know I'm going to smile at least a million times a day. And I can be mad, but I'm still going to smile because, like, my happiness lives in the heart of my family.
What about the evil one next to you that doesn't like to smile?
She smiles when it counts.
I smile when I need to.
She smiles when it counts. But she just has to find her way. Like, you know, it's a different time period from when you were growing up and when I was growing up. And I had friendships that I can say, like, gave me an opportunity.
Isn't it strange that in our house we have 5 different scenarios of life as a teenager? It's really weird. You can... Yeah. My life as your dad's life as a teenager is completely different than all of ours. Like, he was total middle class all his life. I was total poor all my life. Poor, but totally loved, given all that I could be given and actually taught the value of life at an early age. You came, single parent mom, watched her work 4 different jobs most of the time. Had different lessons, but always had the support, which is weird. Jordan now, middle class, double parent home, you know? she got all of the blessings. Double parent home. Mom and dad still both work crazy, but the timing is different. Now, look, that's just the inside of the house. Zabir now is like born into everybody works, and he has all the different opportunities that none of us had. But if you look at the outside world, in the 60s and 70s when we were growing up, we were allowed to go outside. We played on the steps. We did jacks. We did all these things. We were allowed to travel, move, live your life.
Yeah.
You were allowed to travel, move, live. You were outside running up and down the street. You had friends all around our neighborhood. Jordan's life, sudden change. House kid. No outside no more. There's shooting. There's life. The whole world changed. It is it's like she's an inside, and I hate to say it this way, one of the social, like, lack of social, because we had to keep her close because of the way the world changed around us. And Sabir, he goes out, but he only goes out now in structured situations. His teams and all the things that he does is well protected. It's a completely different environment. So you see in the last 2 generations, the complete shift of the world. Which takes you all the way back to what I was saying when I began this whole conversation about the way that the world is today. You know, and my reason for asking both of you, how do you see the world? Because as your mother, as somebody who's older than both of you, you know, I see it completely different. But I have to try to come back and see it the way that you see it so I can help both of you, you know, make it through and always be that parent that I try to be, that I always want to be. You know, that mom that's always the mom. And it's just crazy that the way the world is going. And we're walking into a new year next year. And all I keep doing and all I keep praying is that we all see better. All I keep praying is that something happens so dramatic and wonderful that we on a whole nother plateau. Starting. I actually left you guys, and when I ran out of the house this morning, I didn't think I was going to make it to the press conference. I made it. There was no way I could believe the press conference. I went into a room with Mayor-elect Sherelle Parker as she made announcements of the acting fire commissioner and the new Philadelphia safety officer that we, you know, the director of safety that we actually voted for in the election.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, like, you never know what you're doing. You never know what you're walking into. You never know how. And you know I'm a God-fearing person, and I believe, and I know everything in me and the job that I do as a mom, as a family person, as an HR person, and any role that I've always been have been led by my faith and my trust in God since I was a little girl. But today in the room, there was a different type of air, you know, and it wasn't bad air. It was hope, enthusiastic. It was excitement.
it was praying for or seeing something that is going to come that's going to be good for so many people. And it was a real different type of air, you know. And the people who got these new roles today were different type of people. And I actually did something that only, like, you guys know how I do. I ask the crazy questions that probably nobody else would ever ask. And I ended up asking a question because the two people that got these roles are those diamonds in the rough, the people who are in the rooms all of the time but are very rarely given an opportunity, you know? And it just made sense to me. It's like, are we moving into a place now, hopefully, where people who do the work get the recognition? Are we moving into a space now where the people who are actually running this city are people who are a part of it, who understand it intricately, who can actually say that certain things won't work? Not so much because of they studied it in school, but because they've lived it and they understand how it works because they've lived through different situations that affect the way you look at life, which is literally what you just said, daughter therapist. You know, like the life that you live actually sets the tone for the life that you want to live, the things that you give, how you out your outlook on life is. Your blessings have made, thank God, you a better person without people knowing all of the struggles that we've had, because people don't need to know all of the things that make you you, you know, all of the good things that's in that box, you know.
Yeah.
But just knowing that those things are going on and that we actually have, I'm so excited. And I guess it's getting old. I'm like so excited for a new year. It's like, God, we get another chance to start and make it better. Because for what it's worth, I think this year was quite crappy, you know. And for what it's worth, I know that we did some good. I have 52 editions of a newspaper with some of the things that we did. At least 52 times out of the year, I touched one person's life and I made a difference. So I know that we've done some good, you know, but
we did the sexual assault talk.
Yeah, I'm saying I know that we've done some real good things. But in spite of that, it just feels so crappy. You know, it's maybe it's the financial struggles that come with doing good. I don't know. It's just like, I just can't wait for this year to be over. So maybe we can start and we can try to do something else a little bit better.
I agree.
So with due agreement, we're going to take a commercial break. I haven't done commercials. I actually really got to get my life together because I got to start making money next year. We got to pay for this stuff. Be right back.
Do you have a community interest story? Tell us about it, and it may be featured in our next Scoop USA article or radio show. Whether it's a personal talent or a community service endeavor, we want to know. Contact us at scoopusamedia.com with your information, and a Scoop USA team member will respond to your inquiry. We are a community that builds from the ground up, and we thank you for being part of our foundation. Scoop USA, Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped. What's the scoop? It's Scoop USA Media. Whether it's in print, online, or on the radio, get the latest updates in news, community, entertainment, politics, and more. You want to get the inside scoop? Subscribe to Scoop USA by going to scoopusamedia.com. Scoop USA, Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped.
So we're back, young ladies, my prized possessions. Listen, so I'm going to let you guys go because I know that you hate this. I really do. I understand it.
We don't hate it. We just anti-social.
Yeah, I know that you hate it. I do. You, when I get home, you're going to look at me like, really? You played this today. But that's fine. That's fine. That's what moms get to do. We get to pull rank sometimes. But real quick, before I let you go, do this for me in front of the whole world so you're going to be able to fight me. Tell me what your hope for 2024 is. Like, you got some good things going. You got some good things coming next year. What's your hope?
That I can be more impactful than I have been in many years. So every year I like try to focus on how I can be impactful and give back or leave a mark.
Oh, yeah, that's what you did with the baby thing that you made me do for your birthday gift.
Yeah, I'm very selfless this year and share my birthday by giving back. So this year is a milestone year, I think, right? I'll be 35. Yeah. So I don't know what I'm going to do this year, but I do know that I want to expand on my sexual assault and trauma conversations and try to see if it can just grow. Looking forward to the age of 40, I wanted to at least be a conference that I'm holding once a year, because most people don't know that Philadelphia is a high, well, PA is a high ranking state where they have human trafficking and sex trafficking, especially with the younger community. And Black community, because so many of them actually are runaways or get put out. So they end up on streets and they end up in bad situations where they're trafficked. And it's going on right in our neighborhoods, right under our noses. So I want to really hound in on that and make it as impactful as possible to really make it something.
Hmm. What about you, ma'am?
2024. She has a big year.
I know. What's the goals for this year, hon?
Go next to college. Yeah, college. But I guess I kind of just like want to be, I guess, like more active with myself. Mm. Like get out more, just kind of live a little bit because. Because sooner or later, I'm going to have to be in college. And at that point, I'm actually going to have to live a little bit and start getting out and doing new things, as well as just also like just pushing myself to like just do better. Because this year, I think I've done better than most years mm-hmm. in school and everything, and push myself to do better in school because I know what I kind of want to do. Studying for next year and just adult life.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Adult in 2 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, yeah. I keep remembering. So, you'll be able to vote in the first primary for Trump and Biden. You'll be able to vote for Biden in the first
funny
primary.
Because my first thing was for President Barack Obama.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's a full cycle.
It is. It's for those who don't listen to my show that often, there's a 17-year gap between my kids, okay? I was in two different worlds. I've been mothering now for 34 years nonstop. I said that the other day as I was wrapping gifts for the Christmas tree I started. I literally was emotional. I probably am really getting ready to go through whatever life change it is, because I was emotional. I was like, I've been wrapping gifts for 34 years. Oh, my. Been doing this forever. and still have more. But 34 years successfully, thank God, with two daughters that are actually doing good things. So I thank you for that. But with that being said, I think that both of you have definitely shared something that says that you're going to be growing more and doing more next year, and really have helped bring me back, because I tell you, I've been having such a hard time figuring things out that you guys keep me grounded. And it's important to share with the world that as a Black mother in a minority family, that we actually do live like everybody else. we actually do, and we're not upper middle class, we're not lower middle class, we're right smack in the middle of middle. You know, and we work all extremely hard. My girls have to come and read papers and help me make sure things get done. So we are a working family, and I wanted to share that on today because, number one, I'm by myself, so you guys can get ready to go. I'm actually not doing it bad. I hate talking to myself because there's a phobia that comes with that, but I'm actually doing okay. and I can make it through the next half hour. I can actually talk to myself for a half hour. I do that in the car. But I wanted to share with the world some of the things that we're made out of, and also share my hopes and my dreams that going into next year that God will continue to keep all of us as a family, and that we actually grow to the point where we can continue to do more and give back, and we understand the value of being a family who was blessed to be in a position where our job is to help others. Mm-hmm. It's strange. We didn't start out there. We started out like trying to figure out how we was just going to make it, but we're in a position that with the small bit that we have, it's our job to help others in any way, shape, and form, be it communications, be it sharing stories, be it running around, taking pictures, whatever contribution we have to make, it's our job to do that. So thank you, ladies. You can go. You can go.
All right.
Y'all can run. Run.
Bye.
All right. I'll see you in a little bit. Thank you.
All right. Love you.
So I hope that that didn't hurt too much. Those are my, well, I have four favorite people in the world. Those are the two that are my most favorites that are mine. But I needed to share, and I wanted some people to see that from two different perspectives, you know, the Gen Zs of the world and my youngest, and I don't even know what generation she's in. What generation is that?
What year was she?
She's 17 now. She'll be 18.
I think it's Gen Alpha or something like that is what they're calling themselves.
Yeah. So just to understand the variation between all of the generations and the things that we're struggling with, it's completely gapped out. But even they share the sentiments of not knowing how things are and how sad it is and how different it is. It's really weird that, no, a 17-year-old wakes up and says that they're not happy that it's Christmas. Like, what world is that? You know what I mean? It's like I can't grasp it. And I think that I don't know what COVID did. Maybe it transitioned us and put us on this whole nother thing where
it just all like 5 or 10 years, everybody. So
yeah, like we're in this other world where the things that we used to think meant a whole bunch really don't mean anything anymore. Like. It was Christmas is just Christmas. It's just like, oh, it's just another day. You know, and most people have adopted it. I don't think it's the worst thing to understand that gifts don't make the world go round. But
I graduated from high school in 2014, and I'm pretty sure by the time I was 17 or 18 as well, Christmas had lost its magic, basically. It was just like, okay.
Seriously?
Yeah,
like
unfortunately.
You didn't get excited about just being seeing
no,
family?
No, because like at 17 and 18, I was already hard working at least 3 or 4 days out of the week. Like coming from school, going to work, coming from school, going to work, and then having to deal also with trying to get a thoughtful Christmas present at the same time wasn't exactly in my, you know, purview at that point. It was just like, oh, wow. All right, it's just another task. Let's get it done. And that's a little fatalist, I realize, but like,
so you're an example of someone who actually adjusted and had an adult life while you were still a kid.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No. All of my young life, the parents and other adults always said, oh, wow, you're really mature for your age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody ever tells you that means that they're diagnosing you with depression already at 5 years old.
Uh-huh. Oh, God. So let's real quick, let's get off of the crazy topics, and let's literally, I want to do something that I've never done before. I want to look at some of the papers from the year, the past year, because like I said, we've done 52 papers. Well, actually, no, 52 plus 52 is 104, then plus the 12. So there's like 116.
Yeah.
116 papers.
Jinx, by the way.
Yeah. Oh.
116 papers. That's nothing to sneeze at there. So.
No, that's amazing, right?
With each of those papers probably accounting for maybe 10,000, maybe 20,000 words, do you think, or no?
Each page ranges from 16 to 20 pages.
Yeah.
Each one has at least 20 stories, so just think about that. And we touch at least 40,000 people each time around. So the magnitude being in a situation where all of these stories are coming up and you're just doing something. So I'm just going to like randomly look at my website and pull up. Like today's paper is Happy New Year, and it has this really, really thing. It has like my whole feelings on it is like vision, creativity, passion, teamwork, woke focus, like all of the things that I'm praying for next year. It's like all of the things. I get amazed that we can actually find some of these things. You know, we have, let's see, let's go back to January. What happened January 3rd of last year? Have a little bit of fun. Yeah, that was me again with 2023, a start. It was the first paper of the year, and it was
how optimistic start. Were you at that point, I wonder? Like, were you like, oh, sunshine, rainbows, fantastic. Actually, a good election year is coming up in the next 2 years.
I actually did this paper in Georgia.
Oh.
And I was in Georgia visiting my mother-in-law, and I was there. And I think that I was really, like, psyched. And then I got slapped when I got back, and nothing went the way that I wanted it to go.
Like, rarely ever does in January.
I got slapped. I got slapped real hard. It was like, this is completely crazy. While I'm looking at these papers, I'll give you a couple of insights. Coming up, we have Martin Luther King Day coming up in 2 weeks, which is totally crazy that January is here already and Martin Luther King Day is here. The Girard College, of course, is having their big event. Haven't gotten any announcements, haven't done anything as far as information yet for that. But Dr. Leslie Grace, one of our columnists and also one of our sisters for Scoop, is hosting her financial event there again. So that'll be going on. And, of course, we'll be a part of that. What else is coming up right away? Black History Month. We'll have our Black History Month essay contest. Now, last year we got like 4 people to write essays. And I really goofed because I was trying to wait for us to have an event where we can bring the youth who actually wrote their essays in and give them a chance to read. We prolonged it until like June got around, and I was like, we're not doing anything. So I literally sent them their prize monies and their certificates in the mail. All but, right. You know, I don't want to do that this year. I actually hope and pray that finances in the world allows us to bring everything together so that we can recognize the young people who actually do this. The essay is really simple. It's always something, and it usually starts now, so it'll probably be out in next week's paper. That you just literally write about a Black history thing that you've learned in the past year. Something relative to what happened in the past and is happening now. Because unfortunately, it seems like we're reliving some history here. You know, if you pay attention to the voting things and all of the things that's going on, we're really repeating itself here.
And yeah. 1958, totally that. No, I don't even know. What are you referring to when you were saying repeating?
Martin Luther King, his fight, Malcolm X, their fight, the fight of identity, the fight of value, the fight of knowing who you are, knowing why you are, and actually becoming that person. These are the same things that people in the 50s and 60s were struggling with. It's just the difference is that they were a lot more, stronger together. And they were in groups, and they actually worked together to identify this. It was not silos, and people weren't dealing with situations on their own trying to figure it out. You didn't have social media, which allowed people to blast and become media moguls and just be in their own world. And it's the different things that should have made things better for us that in some ways probably have made them worse, and we don't realize it yet.
When everyone gets their own little space, we didn't realize that it was an echo chamber more than a way to spread information properly.
Well, the one thing, and my daughters both, thank God, they made me feel that I taught them right, was that these are tools. These are not your life. These are tools. You have to put them down at some point. You have to still walk out. And my youngest, who was actually raised in this world where she's really, really socially not active, she's this is her thing. And she's even learning, you know, that there's more to life than your phone and being with people. You got to come outside. You got to breathe some fresh air. You got to walk a little bit, talk a little bit.
Touch some grass.
Yeah, be a person. You know how important it is to be a person? You know, but with that being said, it's so much more to life. And the comparison between the then and the now is so real, because we have so much more, but we're still struggling with some of the things. And I actually, for one, would love to get off of this roller coaster, you know? So coming up, we have Martin Luther King Day. Shortly followed after, we have the essay contest, I think, which usually ends toward the middle of Black History Month, so that we can have our winners. Then we go right into Women's History Month. So January, February, March is boom, bang, boom. It is probably the most important, some of the most important months in our year. Because
it's the beginning of everything, whether good or bad.
Mm-hmm. But it's the celebration time. It's the time of actually, and maybe that's why I'm so psyched and I look forward to it. It's because it's like we actually get to start, and we get to start again and hopefully try for a better new with great things again, you know. So coming up, those are the things that you'll definitely get in the scoop room. Along with, oh, I am excited. I do have some good stuff coming. So we're actually going to, in January, we'll be printing twice.
Printing twice?
Printing twice.
Twice a week or twice a day?
Week. No, twice a week. I couldn't dare do daily news. Do you know what daily news means?
Means a bunch of advertisers.
It means a bunch of advertisers, but it also means a bunch of constant news.
Just a stream, and sometimes not useful.
It's not useful, but it's consuming and it destroys you. Like, seriously, you ever think of like news overload? Pay attention to like the news are now on 24 hours a day.
Like, news seriously. Overload.
And they're just, a lot of people are running around just telling all types of stories because they just need to constantly feed people news.
Hey, this is speculation. We have no idea if this story is properly true sometimes, and we have to work off of what basis we have at the moment, and we might have to rescind this or change it up as we go through the week.
I'm of the age that I really appreciated my 3, 6, and 10 news. Like, seriously. Just 3 times a day. I was perfect with that. Like, the 6 o'clock in the morning before you go to work, you watch the news your first half hour. You come home at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you watch it again, half hour. 11 o'clock, you watch the 11 o'clock news. You go to sleep, you don't have no more news. But news, social media, blogs, all of these things are like they're destroying my business. I tell you that not. They are, because in business, in the business world, you learn the ease of entry and businesses and opportunities where it's so easy to get into that market and generate income. Those are the places where people go. And it's easy to write a story, especially if you write a story with enough enthusiasm and interest and things that pull people in, that it'll definitely sell. It'll detract people. But you still have to remember that there are people such as like Scoop who have to have our federal ID numbers and actually have real stuff to go with it to make sure that we're just not telling and selling any stories. But off character, off of everything, let me tell you. So I ended up, and I got on that because Lord knows, I was looking at Martin Luther King's paper and thinking about what was coming up. So let's see. Let's go to...
Actually, can we take a look behind the, behind the paper per se? How advanced do you like think about the papers for, like, the week of, 2 weeks prior, month prior?
You mean, what? How do I plan out?
Yeah, how do you plan out? I mean, that sounds interesting. Maybe
you think
a little bit, something to give to, you know, get people to chime in.
Okay, well, planning out the newspaper goes like this. So you do have your specific months where your social interest topics are, and you cover those. Kind of start out with that. A lot of times it may get away, particularly in this environment, because every day the world is evolving and it's a newspaper, so you have to deal with the things that are coming up and the way the world is changing and what's happening. But when you think about it from that perspective, each day you're adding in the things that are going on, and community news is based off of what's going on in the community. Are you with me or you left me?
Sorry about that. We had another caller on the line there.
Who
is it? Reverend West with one of our other shows. Sorry about that.
Is this the show after me?
No. Oh. That's Weathers.
Oh, okay.
Who's here, actually? Oh. So
Reverend West, he hung up.
Yeah, he just wanted to update us basically on he's going to be here in a little bit apparently, as well. So.
All right. Well.
Google's just flooded, apparently.
Yeah. Well, we're almost done. I'm almost done my hour of torture.
Oh, we can go for another hour if you want. I'm sure Conversation Unplugged can hold off.
No. So let's real quick, let's talk about a couple of stories. I need to give honor and respect to the people that we did lose. Unfortunately, I lost somebody who's very near and dear to my heart this year. And that's Brother Robert Dickinson. I loved him. And I'd only known him since I've been the owner of Scoop. But he was made such an impression on my life and was such a good friend and somebody who really embraced me, you know. As, and I'll say this, I don't know if I say it enough, as a younger publisher in the media world, I walked into this world not knowing what I was getting myself in, but a big heart and wanting to make a difference and help as many people as I possibly could. And there were, I want to say, less than 10 people who actually walked into my life and embraced me and said that we love you and we're going to make sure that you have some sort of support going forward. And he was one of those people. So this year, that was a major, major, major friendship loss to me. And he's actually, and as I say that I was looking through covers of papers, he's actually one of the people that we featured. So let's see. We have election woes. You know, this was the election of elections. I want to say we have our 100th new mayor elect, which is Madam Sherelle Parker. So we did make history in 2023. We actually did elect the first African-American woman mayor. So that's going forward. We actually brought back some people. We got the sheriff back again. We actually have all of the commissioners are returning. Council went through a real drastic change with almost so many people leaving in transitions, but we got to keep a few of those. And we got, I think, 5 new people coming in. Well, 5 new, fairly new, because a couple of them people had actually came in and covered during the transition time. And we have, the election was the election. It was a good election, I guess, considering, you know, it's only my second big mayoral election since being an owner of a newspaper. So I'm sure that made an impact in my life. What else we got on the covers? We have the Work to Ride, the annual Polo Classic, which I was so looking forward to, but it's been postponed. It'll be happening this year. So in the summer of this year, we're going to have that. If you guys know anything about horses and polo, that's going to be something that's going on. I'm literally just looking at some of the big topics that we had and trying to bring back some of the good things for the community. What do we have here? A strike, the auto workers strike. So it was like strike after strike after strike. Things were going on. The unions actually made a big impact in 2023. They came back strong. Like, I think the unions are really, really active again in the world in supporting people with jobs. Like the auto workers, you had the Actors Guild. You had the Starbucks people now unionizing and fighting back and forth with how that's going to work out. You also had the year of our new governor, Shapiro, and changing job descriptions and lowering the standards so that average people can get into some of these good jobs. I think the 23 did so many things that it's like overload. But there were so many good things, but there were so many things that people not understanding the value of them, I guess, is the best way of saying it, to not know like that. Because I'm an education proponent. I want everybody to go to college. But I also have to understand that in situations where people don't go to college, they shouldn't be given a right to have a certain job. You know what I mean? So you have to weigh it. So with the changes that Shapiro made, like some people are happy about it. I'm sure colleges weren't happy about somebody saying you don't have to have a degree to be a state trooper, you know. But at the end of the day, the goal is hopefully to set them in a path where they actually do still go get their degree, because they find in order to move up in certain positions, you do need some formal education. So there are a lot of things that are going on like that right about now, where you got a lot of new people with new ideas coming in, and it's just hopefully going to get better.
I want to think of this year coming up as the year of fulfillment.
Do you?
I really want to feel like that, because I want it to be a year to complete things on time, in great success and all of that. Because otherwise, I think it's going to feel just like last year. Because last year, it felt like this past year, it felt unfulfilling.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I think that there's a lot of new open-ended things happening, which aren't fulfilling. You know what I mean? Like when you change shift and you have a new proponent where you don't have to have a degree for this anymore. It's like, all right, now we're changing the way that the world is done. So it's so much change that fulfillment isn't that option at that point. You're just adjusting to the change, you know? So one of the biggest things, and this is coming up toward the end of the year, in my HR class, we read this book called Transitions. That was the name of the book. And one of the biggest things I took away from that class and life period, and it was amazing to me because I never had thought about it. But in order to begin again, you have to end. Like, you can't keep carrying things with you and think that you're starting anew. So I say this to people going into this new year, that if there's anything or if you see yourself moving into a different direction, remember that in order to start, you have to end. You have to close out the year before. Meaning, as I said with my kids, I get on my knees and I pray and I thank God for where I've been and I ask them to carry me into the next part. That is literally, and I didn't know it when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. My mom would sit me down on my knees and doing it. But that was literally that act of ending something so that you can start anew. And I'm going to leave us with that. I wish you all the best new year possible. If 23 was what it was to me, God bless you. You made it through. And we need to figure out what we're going to do next year and move forward. So thank you so much for sharing this year with the Inside Scoop. Thank you for being here with me. If you're new, thank you. And I hope you come back. God bless. I'll see you in 24.